Hey, in this episode, I'm speaking to Malcolm Lemons, former professional athlete in the States in basketball, now an author, a speaker, an athlete advocate around empowerment. And, you know, this is an awesome episode, and I encourage you to share it with other athletes. And, yeah, man, can't wait. Roll the intro. The Athlete CEO Podcast. Let's go. Quick bio and about yourself, 30 seconds, and then we'll get stuck in.
Cool. Well, born and raised in the Washington, D.C. area, played basketball my entire life, went to a highly prestigious high school in the area, played against a lot of guys who are now in the NBA, a couple of NFL players. So it was a really, really highly competitive sports environment growing up. I went on to play Division I basketball at Niagara University for 3 years. And I had a lot of ups and downs, but I still had this goal, this dream of pursuing a professional athletic career. So ended up transferring my senior year of college, which a lot of people thought was absurd. But I took a leap of faith, went out to California, and played for NAIA school called Cal State San Marcos, and actually ended up having the best year I ever had playing basketball. I was an All-American Defensive Player of the Year, and that having that success afforded me the opportunity to go play professionally in Japan for 2 years, on and off. And through that, I started to really think about what I wanted to do in life after sports, just because dealing with the instability of being a professional athlete, especially overseas, it wasn't a lifestyle that was sustainable for myself. And it really gave me time to think about what my other passions and interests were outside of being an athlete and what I could bring to the table once sports were done. And through that, I just had a just kind of sat back and thought about this intently, and really began to write and reflect on my experience as an athlete, some of the obstacles that I went through. And through that, I published a book when I came back home, and that was really the start of everything that I'm doing now and how I transitioned out of sports.
Wow. Awesome. Awesome. Tell me a bit more about your time in Japan. How was that? I guess you would have been quite young going overseas to a new country to play sport. How did you sort of handle that whole, I guess, transition from the States over to Japan?
It was extremely difficult at first. The first time I went over there, I had never been out the country before. And you think about going out the country, you know, you're from the States and you might take a vacation to like Mexico or like Caribbean, but like going across the world was just, it was a whole different experience that frankly you're not prepared for until you actually are in the mix of it. So the first go around to Japan, I was out there for a couple of months and actually ended up leaving early because it was that bad. I mean, we slept on the floor. We didn't have AC. We weren't getting paid. We had to walk to practice. So it was a lot of challenges on top of getting adjusted to a new culture. And just that overall struggle taught me a lot about myself and taught me a lot about how to survive. And I would say that now looking back, it's given me the strength to be able to overcome anything that I go through, any type of adversity. Just because I know I put myself in those uncomfortable situations and been able to come out on top. So, I mean, overall, it was definitely had its challenges, but, you know, I wouldn't trade that experience for the world.
Yeah, awesome. And talk us through a little bit now that you've come back from Japan. What happened then when you came back to the States?
So I was in the process of getting this book published. I never thought I would be an author. I was talking about my story to other people, they really told me how impactful my story could be for other athletes. And that's when I kind of decided to go through with it. So that following year after I came back, I was going through the whole publishing process, but my passion was still basketball. I still wanted to play the game. So I gave basketball one last shot. I had an opportunity to go play in Morocco. 3 days before Christmas was supposed to leave, and I found out the day before my flight that, you know, they decided to rescind the deal, and they were looking for a four-man, a big instead of me, a guard. So that kind of was like, the end of my basketball career when I decided to really walk away and kind of pursue this other career, this other passion that I had for writing and athlete advocacy, and really being someone who was a champion for other athletes to do other things outside of the game. You know, I started to really dive into research about how many athletes struggle not only with their finances, but from the emotional, mental standpoint of transitioning and why this is such a big problem in the athletic community. So that was really, really, you know, the start of my transition. It was me going through those obstacles and also doing the research and the reading to understand that this is a huge problem within the athletic community, and doing my part to help out, to put out content, to have these discussions as we're doing now, and to really shed some light on other athletes and their stories and who they are outside of just being what people see them as, one-dimensional athletes. So,
yeah. And so, well, tell us a bit more around some of the research that you found when it comes to, I guess, athletes transitioning. There's not much research and data for, I guess, the athletes that I work with, especially here in New Zealand with rugby and rugby league, pretty much just go off what the states have. And I did come across a paper called where they mentioned athlete identity foreclosure. I'm not sure if you've seen any of the research around that, about how one of the struggles that athletes go through is that loss of identity. It's like, oh, well, now who am I? So share with us a little bit around some of the, I guess, strategies that you've seen work when it, or assisting athletes in transitioning after sport.
So I would say the biggest thing, I mean, there's a lot of people, a lot of support groups, a lot of resources that are out there, but a lot of times athletes have this tunnel vision, this focus exclusively on their sport, that they're not even looking for these other type of resources. And these people, you know, they're out there, but they're not visible to the athletes. So the athletes don't really know how to even start to take advantage of, you know, whether they want to be a speaker or a writer or start a nonprofit. Like, they don't know how to really take that first step to understand how they could get a jump start on the transition process and not wait till they're retired. And I think that's really the biggest issue, is that athletes have been told from such a young age that if you want to be successful in your sport, that's what you need to do. That's what you need to focus on. It needs to be 24/7, and nothing else can be a distraction to you. And I think that's partially the biggest, this is probably the biggest mistake that we're making when it comes to youth athletics, is that we're telling these athletes that they can only play their sport and they can't do anything else. When I think being a multi-hyphenate and multi-dimensional and being more than an athlete is really what helps an athlete kind of take a step back and, you know, step away from the game and you know, reassess what they're doing in their sport, and also having these other passions helps them be a better athlete. So I think that's the biggest problem that we're having, is that, you know, we're telling these athletes they're one thing, and it's really bigger than that. And there needs to be more visibility around the resources and really the options that athletes have, and coaches and administrators and parents need to start having these conversations earlier and often. That you're not just an athlete, that you can do more, that you can bring more to the table, and that doing other things outside of your sport is going to help you be a better athlete in at the end of the day.
Yeah. And how important is it to have the right people around you when you are a professional athlete? I know, oh man, I'm trying to think of the name of the movie I was watching on Netflix around the lockout, which is, you know, obviously I don't know if it was a true story. But one of the characters in there talked about having an agent, a business manager. You know, like, is that quite common in the States for professional athletes to have all these types of people?
I think it depends on the athlete. I would say more times than not. A lot of athletes have different people in their corner, whether it's a manager, day-to-day manager, or admin assistant, or agent, or financial advisor. They have these different people play in different roles throughout their lives, and everyone kind of has to stay in their own lane. And I think that grows as an athlete's career goes along. I mean, early and often, a rookie athlete might not have that much, but you take a guy like LeBron, for example. He has so many moving parts in the LeBron James business. So he has to have all these different people who manage his schedule, who manage his business dealings, Rich Paul, who deals with the team and contractual negotiations and things of that nature. So I think for most athletes, they're not going to obviously have as many people in their corner as LeBron, but it is common that they have some type of support system and someone who's people who are really helping them with day-to-day obligations outside of their sport.
Yeah. It's funny, you brought up Rich Paul. Now, I read a few things around Rich Paul when he came into, I guess, the whole management space, because regardless of whether you're a rookie or whether you're LeBron, everyone has an agent.
Right.
And so one of the things that I'm always curious about is, where does an agent's role start and end, and where does accountability start and end in regards to what agents should be doing? Because, you know, I think I read the statistic within 2 years, I think as an NBA or NFL players are either bankrupt or under financial stress, all their money's gone. Is that part of an agent's role, is to assist athletes, their athletes outside of just negotiating contracts? Or what? I'd love to hear your thoughts.
I think personally, it depends on who the agent is. Obviously, if it's someone, you know, someone's dealing with the athlete's money, you want somebody to have some type of certification or understanding or competency when it comes to that matter. You don't want an agent who says they can do this for you but really doesn't have any experience doing that. Yeah. An agent's job should really be to negotiate the contract dealings with the team, and then maybe negotiate contract just dealings with a company or brand or sponsorship opportunities. And that should really that's the baseline for what agents are supposed to do. And then usually athletes have a financial advisor or someone who actually handles their money, you know, on a day-to-day basis, whether it be investments or anything of that nature. So I think it depends on the experience of the agent. But I think those parameters have to be set early and often. Because like I said before, you know, an athlete can have a lot of different people in their corner, and sometimes lanes can get crossed, and that's how you have arguments and disputes over different things when it comes to an athlete's career. So it's a conversation that has to be had, and communication really has to be key when it comes to who an athlete surrounds themselves with and what their particular roles are going to be when it comes to an athlete's career.
Yeah, no, that's great. That's awesome advice. So let's sort of dive in a bit more around the work that you do now, and sort of shed a bit of light around how your, you know, athlete advocacy and also sort of the message and that you're sharing with a lot of the athletes.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I think the biggest thing that I've really been focused on is really starting the conversation, putting out a lot of content, and as I said before, telling those stories. Because we have a lot of athletes out here who have experienced struggles with transitioning, struggles with, you know, financial issues, struggles with different components of what it means to be either a collegiate athlete or a professional athlete. So I think the biggest thing for me is how can I further bring the stories to light? How can we further dive deeper into the conversation and help younger athletes and the future generations understand why this is so prevalent and why they need to not only take advantage of their career and the time that they have as an athlete, but also prepare for that next step. And I've done that through a variety of different mediums. I have a podcast called the Players Point Podcast, and I've interviewed about 80 current and former athletes around these various topics. I actually just shut down the podcast about a week or two ago, because I'm working on some other projects, and it was kind of taking some time away from that. But the next big thing that I have coming up in 2020, I'm actually publishing a book that's focused around athlete branding and marketing, and not sure if you all in New Zealand are familiar with the Fair Play to Pay Act, where yes. You know, a lot of colleges are we're really pushing for collegiate athletes to be able to take advantage of their image and likeness and able to monetize their brands. And I want to be at the forefront of that movement as well. So I'm publishing this book and really diving deep into the different ways that athletes, college and pro, how they can build their brands, what the foundation of that looks like, and also how they can monetize it, how they can use it to carry over into life after sports and use it as leverage. And that's really something that I'm really, really keen on in the next couple of months, and trying to get the word out there about And then just going out and spreading the message, getting out to different universities, teams, and getting in touch with these athletes and helping them in any way possible.
That's awesome. Yes, I am familiar with the Fair, as a Pay to Play Act, and I thought that was awesome because, yeah, I saw the episode that LeBron and Mav was on with the governor. When we're talking about image rights, now, here in New Zealand, in rugby and rugby league, it is mandatory to sign over, I guess, the image rights and likeness to the sporting organization. But there's some flexibility in it, which I think is awesome. Before, it was like you cannot use any image of you playing the sport, da da da, which is still in play. But there's a lot more flexibility now. And there's actually opportunities for a lot of the rugby league players to purchase those image rights back. So how important is it to have control of your image as a professional athlete?
I mean, I think it's everything nowadays. You see how content has transformed and why these attention and meetings to which we put out these contents, why it's so important to be in control of and to own. So I think it's everything for an athlete to have the ability to monetize their image and likeness and to be able to take advantage of it and use it in whatever way they want to. We go back to college sports, you know, to me, it's essentially indentured servitude because what you're doing is you're preventing someone their constitutional right, which is in the, you know, Constitution of the United States to be able to make money off of their name. And that is the only avenue or path, or so to speak, in our country that you can't do so. You can't use your name or your image to actually make money. You can do that in any other career, no matter who you are. So I think that's really the biggest issue. It's a violation of a constitutional right, and it's why it's so major. And as I said before, just the ability to take control of who you are as a person, to create your own tribe or community online, and to be able to monetize that is everything nowadays. And we're seeing, you know, people, influencers and social media celebrities are really at the forefront of the culture nowadays. It's not brands, it's not companies, it's not these logos, it's people's faces. So your image means a lot, and it's that much more important for you to have those opportunities and to be able to do what you want with it when you want to.
What's some of the ways that you've seen that a lot of the athletes are actually utilizing that, by building their, not only their personal brand, but utilizing and leveraging off their profile as an athlete? What's some of the ways that you've seen athletes sort of take advantage of it?
So many different ways. I actually have a give a shout out to one of my friends, Dior Ginyard. He works for the NFLPA, which is the marketing arm, the union for the NFL.
Yep.
He started a campaign called #AthleteAnd. And what they're doing is really highlighting a lot of the NFL players who are doing things outside of football. So you see a lot of guys talking about their love for whether it be, you know, cooking. You know, you have guys who are chefs, you have guys who are starting their own media companies and YouTube channels. You have guys in the community starting their own philanthropic endeavors. You have guys who are, you know, whatever the case may be, becoming public speakers, getting into investment and venture capitals. You have I can't remember his name, one of the quarterbacks for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He wants to be an aerospace engineer, rocket scientist. So seeing like all these different initiatives and guys actually not being afraid to step outside of the box, and talking about whatever their other passions are and really taking advantage of, you know, the resources that they have as the more than athlete conversation has come to light. You know, guys aren't afraid of criticism and judgment and people saying that you have to be this one thing. They're like, no, I can do football and be more. I can play basketball and be more. So I'm seeing a lot of the pro athletes really taking advantage of their platform and talking about their interests and not being afraid to do so. And I think it takes a lot of courage to put yourself out there. Because, you know, when you're a professional athlete, you're in the limelight. You have a bad game and thousands of people can hit you up on Instagram and tell you about it. And so in a world where you talking about things outside of your day job, and you know, you get a lot of pushback and criticism for that. I think it's admirable that we're seeing athletes, you know, really talk about what they're passionate about and not being afraid to do so, and even taking advantage of it while they're not playing their sport.
How does that help them in the transition, I guess, in starting to build all of this stuff, podcasting, vlogging, you know, sharing the interests outside of sport? Is there a way that this assists them in that transition phase?
I think the biggest thing it does for them is, well, it does a couple of things. I think one, it exposes them to networking opportunities. Mm. So when you put yourself out there and you talk about, well, you know, if I'm on LinkedIn talking about I want to get into venture capital, I'm going to start attracting people who work in that space, or investors or venture capitalists who are going to want to connect with me, because one, I'm a professional athlete. And so people have an affinity for sports, and, you know, people who work outside of sports or want to get connected with the athletes, they're going to see you're interested in venture capital and reach out, or you have the means to now reach out to them and start that conversation. Mm. So it's definitely a great networking opportunity. It also kind of gets their brain, you know, thinking about that next path and how they can really get a jump start on whatever that passion is going to be. So they're not just focused on football. They're actually taking, or basketball, they're actually taking the initiative to immerse themselves in a different craft and start to learn that craft and start to develop themselves in that craft, which is going to help them when they transition, how they're going to be able to network and also be proficient enough to start a career in that job or that passion or whatever the case might be. So I think those are the two biggest things that it helps them do when they take advantage while they're playing.
Yeah. Is there any, so one of the hot topics, and this is sort of some of the work that I do with athletes is I've slowly seen this explosion of online platform for athletes. More particularly, if we look at a platform called Masterclass, not sure if you've heard of Masterclass, right? And obviously, yeah. Steph Curry's on there. I think it's Serena Williams. They only have like three or four athletes. They've got a golfer on there. And so what we're doing here in New Zealand, looking to go global eventually, is creating something similar where we're helping athletes create digital, we call it assets, most properly we call, you know, create online programs, as we found that to be an awesome way to not only monetize their following, but also actually give back and assist their following at a low end. There's so many opportunities online that I see that a lot of athletes aren't really taking advantage of, because, you know, by 2025, the online learning is going to be a $1 billion a day industry globally. And so for athletes, we see this as a massive, landscape for them to navigate. All this stuff that I'm sharing and that we're talking about, is it almost to the point where you've got a dedicated person to assist them with this?
I think, again, it goes back to who the athlete is and what their goals are. So, I mean, every athlete is not going to want to build the empire that LeBron James is trying to build right now. But I think if, you know, you want to monetize your following or a percentage of your following and have your own e-class or educational platform where you're teaching something, I think that's, a viable thing to do. And I think, you know, you're definitely going to need help with that. I think no athlete is going to be. It's very time consuming to do something of that nature. So I think in any regard, you know, athletes having support and someone to help them build out whatever they're trying to do is definitely a critical piece to that. You know, you didn't become a professional athlete by yourself. Yeah. You know, you had coaches, you had people, trainers who helped you along the way. And I think it's the same thing when you're trying to do any type of business endeavor or venture that you're trying to take advantage of. You're going to need that support. You're going to need advice. And that feedback is really critical to building whatever you're trying to build.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. So what's some of the big projects that you have coming up in the next 6 to 12 months?
So, I would say the book is probably the biggest thing for me right now. I'm partnering with a couple people where we're going to try to start filming a documentary next year that's focused on mental health and athletes. That's still kind of in the and we're laying the groundwork right now. Those will probably be the two biggest things. And I'm in talks with a couple of different universities about possibly turning the book into a curriculum for athletes to learn more about personal branding and hopefully monetizing their personal brands.
Yeah.
You know, what happens with the Fair to Play to Pay Act going forward. So I would say that those two things are really taking up a lot of my time. And then just kind of taking it project by project and keeping the mission the same and really staying focused on storytelling around athletes and really making an impact on athletes on and off the playing field.
Yeah. So what is your core business now that in the work that you do, Malcolm? Is it a speaker or is it just a whole range of different things?
So I would say by nature, I'm a writer, man. I'm an author. I do a lot of speaking. I would say it's my forte, but I would say writing books and putting out content is like my passion. It's like storytelling, man. I call myself a storyteller in multiple different capacities and whatever the medium is or whatever, you know, way I got to tell the story, that's what I'm going to do. And that's what I feel like I'm the best at. So I would say that covers a wide range of, I would say avenues or career titles. But I would say I'm a storyteller, man, at heart. It's what I love about sports is the stories behind the athletes, the stories behind the game, and why those stories have such a big impact on our lives and why we relate to sports so much is really the stories.
Yeah, and it's funny because there's so many similarities between our journeys is because, you know, I also wrote a book, my autobiography, self-published and released it, and I saw the positive impact that my story had on athletes and even non-athletes. And so for me, I'm all around trying to empower our athletes to really not only maximize opportunities, share their story, but to really start to set themselves up, because I see it that for the athlete that can really take on this ownership. And I know I saw a video where you spoke about athletes getting out there and making stuff happen, that it almost becomes exciting when they finish playing sport, because now it's like they can 100% go and pursue this. And so that's sort of the avenue that we're trying to assist our athletes in, especially in rugby and the rugby league. And we see especially rugby really growing in the States. Obviously, they started their professional league now. But we not only growing in the States, but we see America as being probably will be one of the heavyweights in the next 10 to 15 years, purely because of the pathway systems and the resources that they have. And everyone in New Zealand, or me personally, I'm thinking, man, if the States get a hold of a decent pool of players coming through and developing the way they develop NFL players, oh, it's going to be a game changer for rugby globally. And then obviously the States will just be like every other sport that they go in and just dominate. But I guess that leads into something that I wasn't even thinking about, was this the whole pathway system for player development in the States, especially in basketball and NFL. Like you've got and baseball, you've got the little leagues, and is it really that cutthroat at such a young age? That's only my perception from what I see, is that, you know, it's almost drilled into them from a very young age, coming straight through and then high school, college, and then, you know, obviously here in New Zealand, we've got one of the I forgot his name. Jeez, he skipped college to come here and play for the Breakers, and he's actually sort of I think they reckon he'll be a second pick in the NBA draft when he comes out of gets to age to play NBA. Is it really just here? It is. This is the journey. Nothing else.
I would say it's very cutthroat at a young age. I even remember back when, you know, I was playing AAU ball, which is like our summer league basketball. And the things that you're not as cognizant or aware, or you don't really have a keen understanding at that age. But you see things and you understand as you get older how big of a business this is. And regardless of the sport. I think basketball will probably be the most cut at the youngest ages because of the shoe deals and the shoe companies. Mm-hmm. But man, it can get extremely cutthroat, and we're seeing it more and more as you know, we talked about these kids have hundreds of thousands of followers coming into high school and going into college. You know, Zion Williamson had more Instagram followers than I think the whole Duke University, the school he went to. So when you think about that type of attention and leverage and power that younger athletes are having, like, we're only really at the start of this revolution. And I think it's just going to get more and more competitive and cutthroat as time goes along. So yeah, it can get scary when there's a lot of money involved. You know, these kids are at the mercy of the shoe deals and these coaches who have their futures in the balance of their hands. So it's a problem. It's a problem. It definitely is.
Yeah. Yeah. Can more be done, Malcolm, to prepare these young athletes for what's to come? Or it's almost like, man, there's nothing that can prepare you for that when you come into the professional leagues.
I would say you can try to prepare, but there's really nothing that, you know, until you're in it, you don't really, really understand. So, you know, you can do all, it's like with anything else, you can do all the reading and research and, you know, talk to people. Until you're actually in the mix and on the job, you don't understand how difficult it can be or how challenging or what obstacles might occur while you're doing something. So, you know, it's about empowerment, man. It's about putting the bug in the athlete's ear and helping them understand as much as possible what they're about to experience, what they're about to go through, and then also how to prepare for whatever may come up. And you know, adversity is a part of life, and we all go through it. And as I said, like, you don't really know until you have to face challenges, and you learn how to navigate as you go along.
Yeah. It's so true. And, you know, I know that something that I wanted to just quickly touch on was probably talking about the management space again, because here in our neck of the woods, right, it is overly talked about, you know, the same thing. I think it's universal, right? You never hear from your agent until it's time to negotiate and all, you know, da 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 da. But in the States, something that I've noticed is obviously Jay-Z's come to the mix. And then also Gary Vaynerchuk with Vayner Sports Media. What is it like when there's a new, I guess, and obviously Rich Paul had haters when he came out, right? And being an agent. Why is that whole industry, why is it the way that it is when it comes to, I guess, new people either entering the market? And is it really, really that sort of cutthroat in that space?
So I would say that people get into the business for multiple different reasons. You know, some of these, I don't know if you're familiar with the artist Young Jeezy. He just started his football agency about a month ago. So,
I didn't know that.
I have a friend who actually works with, he's the only certified NFL agent on that team. And I was asking him, I was like, why would Young Jeezy start a sports agency at this point in his career? And you know, it just stemmed from his love from football. I mean, he's been involved in football, the football community in Atlanta where he's from. He has his own youth football team. So I think it's just a love for the game. I think from Gary Vaynerchuk's perspective, I think he got into the game because partially it's going to help him with his goal of buying the New York Jets. Also, I think he genuinely cares about athletes, and he understands that for a long time, athletes have been taken advantage of by agents and just people in the industry who are trying to profit off of them or take advantage of their money or whatever the case might be. So his agency is all about helping the athletes prepare for life after sports and really taking a different approach than what a lot of agents have taken in the past. So I think it depends, man, but I think you definitely need a way to separate yourself if you're going to get into the agency business. And really prove your worth and why you're the best agent for a particular athlete, because athletes are becoming more aware and they understand that a lot of people are, you know, have their hands out and are trying to, you know, get next to them for whatever the case might be. So you really have to have a compelling reason and really good intentions if you're going to get into the agency business, because you're not going to last. It's not going to be sustainable. So I think that's the most important thing. But
That's great. Now I'm going to look up Young Jeezy and see what his agency is all about. right? Because when you said Young Jeezy, I was like, Young Jeezy?
It just launched about a month, maybe 2 months ago. So it's a very young agency, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, no, that's it. I guess for me, here in our little neck of the woods, there's just a stronghold of, a monopoly of a couple of big agencies. One of the interviews that I saw, especially with Gary and even Jay-Z, we're talking about, now they're worried, now that they've come into the mix. And for a lot of athletes, I guess one of the messages that I always try and encourage them is to take ownership of everything, right? You need to know what's going on. Stop, because it's such a default to, I'll check with my agent, my agent handles it. And I'm like, man, you need to know all that stuff, right? You need to be amongst that to understand what's going on. And finally, bro, where's this whole movement going now with athlete empowerment in terms of really being able for athletes to own their own narrative and not only make an impact through their story, but also generate revenue off their personal brand? Do you see it as like you said, a revolution? Is that what you were meaning about this whole sort of movement that's happening in the States?
Yeah, so I definitely think we're headed in the right direction. Athletes are understanding the power that they have when it comes to attention and notoriety and consumers. And I think that puts them in a position to where they could generate their own opportunities, their own deals, and they essentially have more leverage over these brands and these companies. And that's only going to continue to push forward and be more prevalent in the future for athletes. So, when I say revolution, we're really at the beginning of how big this thing could be. It hasn't really, we're here, but we haven't really scratched the surface of the power that athletes really have and what they can do and what they can create and build and the infrastructure and opportunities that we'll see in the near future. So, it's an exciting time to be an athlete. I wish I was still playing in some aspects.
Man, you're telling me, man. I honestly, I wish like I was still playing, man, with what I know now. Like, obviously, man, I'm like, oh, but
yeah.
All we can do is still sort of share what we know and keep assisting and empowering these athletes to see it. Because one thing I have noticed is once they have that light switch, or that light bulb moment, they're off and running.
Yeah, 100%. It's definitely an exciting time, and I give a lot of credit to LeBron James, creating platforms such as Uninterrupted, Derek Jeter with the Players Tribune, and really pushing these stories and helping athletes, get their narratives out there and express themselves and be comfortable doing so. I think it's so vital to the athletic community, and I'm extremely excited to see how this is going to transform and the things that are going to happen, because like I said, we're just scratching the surface, and there's still a lot of work to be done, but we're pushing forward. This is exciting times, man. Absolutely.
Yeah, it is. Awesome. Well, look, thank you so much, Malcolm, for your time. I really do appreciate it, and I've been following you for a while. And when is the book? Is there a release date? Is there for your next book?
So we don't have a release date yet. I'm thinking early February, possibly the end of January. We're working out the last edits of the manuscript and the cover design and all that. So I'll start getting into promotions pretty soon. But I'll keep you up to date, man. Absolutely.
No, that's awesome. And thank you so much again for jumping on. I really appreciate it. For those of you that are listening, I'll put Malcolm's handles and how you can be in contact with him if you want in the notes, and also on Instagram at Malcolm Lemons. Man, it was a pleasure. Really looking forward to continuing to follow you, but also hopefully touching base soon. I'd love to come to the States, hopefully next year, and attend some of the events around personal branding and marketing and everything that's happening, and maybe even get to listen to you speak. And then, mate, I'd love to run an event similar here in New Zealand, and I'd love to invite you over as one of the speakers, which I think would be awesome. So thank you very much again for your time.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me. Yeah, absolutely. Let me know. I got to make a trip down under.
Awesome. Thanks,
but
man.
Yeah. No, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it again, man. Talk to you soon.
All right. Cheers. Man, hope you enjoyed that episode. One thing that we are trying to do is empower our athletes to take control, take ownership of not only their brand, but everything to do with being a professional athlete. If you want to know more about the work that we do at Athlete Empire, drop me a line or head over to www.athleteempire.co.nz. Send me a message on Instagram at sione.fangwina, and let's jump on a call and see if there's any synergies and how we can assist you in helping you achieve and maximize opportunities.